Very important game this evening for both the Bulldogs and Ducks, as it's the non-conference finale, each opening league play in 8 days, in prepping you for all things Fresno State. We're fortunate enough to have the voice of the Bulldogs on the line. We welcome Paul Leffler to the show. Paul, greatly appreciate your time. How are things with you?
Oh, I'm glad to be in your beautiful state today. It's not raining on me. I'll take it.
Yeah, by the way, thank you, because it has been a misery of ice storms and damage. And considering what it's been, you brought almost balmy Northern California weather. So on behalf of everyone who's been to hell and back here, we appreciate it.
Wow, I didn't know I had that much pull, but yeah, if I can pull off a thriller at the mat tonight, then I'll be even happier.
All right. Now, as a first-time guest, I always like to start with a little personal note. About 8 years ago, you landed this gig for FSU, and, you know, sometimes you take a job many have held, but you took over for a legend who was behind the mic for 38 years, Bill Woodward. What kind of experience was that, taking the baton from a guy who, in essence, was synonymous with the program?
You know, he was, much like Jerry Allen is here with the Ducks.
Sure.
Bill is a phenomenal guy. In fact, he's up here in the Northwest now after he retired. It was a privilege. I grew up listening to Bill. I have been doing the baseball games for several years, and Fresno State, you know, has a phenomenal baseball program, and that was right after the baseball team won the national championship. And so that it made for a fairly smooth transition to go from that into hopefully trying to fill Bill's shoes. But I have great respect for him and for the relationship he had with the fan base, and it's just a privilege and an honor to pick up where he left off and follow these programs.
You know, I guess sticking with the bio aspect here, I would like to come clean now, Paul. We have lied to you. We have you under the guise of wanting to talk about Fresno State and Oregon, but in fact, the real reason you're here is to talk spelling bee, because you you must hate this at this point, because you have been the commentator for the Scripps National Spelling Bee since 2006. That's not all. You were a contestant on the National Spelling Bee, placing in the top 13 in 1990. I assume they didn't give you the job fresh off your 1990 performance. So how did you get involved in the broadcast aspect of it? And has it, I guess, been satisfying watching how it's grown and become more mainstream?
It really has. It's a special program, and those kids are absolutely incredible. And I tell everybody, I mean, everyone says, why is the spelling bee on ESPN? I said, well, find me a competition that's more intense, that has a smaller margin for error, that keeps you on the edge of your seat longer than the Scripps National Spelling Bee. I don't think you will. And it gets crazier every year. But no, to answer your initial question there, I think the way I ended up with the gig, when they first put it in prime time on ABC in 2006, they had Robin Roberts lined up to host, but they were looking for an analyst. And my guess was I was the only former Spelling Bee contestant who was doing television somewhere. So I think that's how they ended up on me.
That's
but
awesome.
But it's been a lot of fun over the years. Great
and,
event.
And unlike the NFL, they let them celebrate as well. So.
We're talking
well,
with
the Dez Bryant X last year. That was great.
Nice. We're talking with Fresno State play-by-play man Paul Leffler. Back to 2011, Rodney Terry became the head coach. He'd been with Rick Barnes at Texas for many years, and they made the big dance last year, lost some big scores, including the Mountain West Player of the Year, Marvell Harris. Paul, heading into this season, how would you describe the logical expectations of Bulldog hoops?
Well, I think the expectations are high. I think last year elevated it, especially the way they finished down the stretch. I mean, they had a 9-game win streak before they ran into Utah in the NCAA tournament. That was just a tough matchup for them up in Denver. But they returned most of that team. They lost Marvell Harris, lost Julian Lewis, who had such a big hand in their run, and Cesar Guerrero. So three senior guards moved on. But they had a Pac-12 transfer sitting out, and Jerron Hopkins, who's been playing the point and is an athletic freak at 6'6". Colin Russo at 6'9", is versatile as they come. They've gotten big contributions from a couple post players, and Terrell Carter and Bryson Williams. And tonight, we'll see the return of Karachi Edo, who athletically is a high major player. He's a beast. I think he should be a red zone receiver in the NFL. If you look at his Dwight Howard shoulders mixed with his leaping ability, I don't know how you'd ever deny him. But Duck fans saw him put a double-double on the board here last year, and this will be his first game of the year because of academic issues that kept him out for the fall semester. But I think he's pretty fired up to get going tonight. And I think you're going to see a team in Fresno State tonight that athletically matches up with the Ducks very well.
You know, I was going to ask you about Edo. So he does make his return tonight. That was kind of up in the air leading into this game. I guess, what do you think he kind of adds to the lineup? And do you foresee any kind of issues getting him back into the flow?
That's what I'm wondering about. Will we see those issues with him getting into the flow? Knowing what his game is, which is offensive rebound, putbacks, maybe some short corner jumpers, grabbing a loose ball and getting to the rim and throwing it down. I mean, his elevation is unmatched. He's ridiculous in the leaping part of the game. But because that's what his game, it's not all design plays, not a ton of face-up stuff, at least not in the past. I think we'll see more of that from him this year. But he may be a guy that picks up where he left off and jumps right in. And I think the intriguing thing for Fresno State is he'll play primarily the center position, even at 6'6", because of his freakish strength and leaping ability. And they've gotten great production from that spot already with Carter and Williams. So now you have a three-headed monster instead of just two, and it looks like the Ducks won't have Boucher in there to contend with them. So, you know, when you minus Boucher and add Edo, that could change the dynamics a little bit.
I want to get to the freshman who's making a nice contribution, a local guy, Roosevelt High in Fresno, Bryson Williams. He was just a beast, 33 points a game, won the state title, pretty good all-around game in the win against Oregon State. He's hit double digits the last two, and he hits a crazy high percentage of his shots. For those who haven't seen him yet, what could you tell us about his game and how he's coming along as a college player?
I think he's ahead of schedule, and he is shooting an extremely high percentage, and you'd assume those are all dunks, and a lot of them are, dunks and layups, but, you know, you might see him shoot a 15-footer, and it might touch the ceiling. That's the kind of arc he puts on it, but it'll probably go down. I mean, he has shown a lot of maturity as a freshman. The Bulldogs went into Marquette, you know, a Big East power with an all-Big East center, and the first time he gets the ball on the baseline, he faces the guy up, takes one dribble to his right, spins left toward the baseline, and somehow gets past him for a big-time bucket, and the guy didn't know what hit him. And he's showing us something different every game. He's getting better and better defensively and in his mental understanding of the game. And so far, we've seen a tendency to rise to the occasion for young Bryson, and I would guess that playing on the road against a team that was in the Elite Eight last year, a top 25 team on television, that it's going to be a big opportunity for Williams tonight.
You know, you kind of alluded to the last year's game between these two teams. In that game, Fresno kind of out to a bad start, fell behind big, but they had a big second-half surge, closed the margin to 4 points only to fall in the end. Couple lessons to learn there, I guess. The Bulldogs need to start better, and if they did, they could have beat Oregon in that game. I guess bad starts kind of a theme this year as well. Has the head coach said anything about how to solve that issue, and what is it about the first halves of games this year for these guys?
Yeah, they have had some of those, some head scratchers. And last year, you know, here in Eugene, I thought they kind of came out sleepwalking a little bit or maybe intimidated, and that wasn't typical for that team. But in that second half, they really woke up, and I just laid the blame at the feet of Paul George because, you know, here he's at the game. He's there with his Pacers teammate, Joe Young.
Yeah.
But they don't go sit out there for the first half, and Fresno lays an egg. As soon as he goes and sits next to Phil Knight on the sideline, Fresno State plays out of its mind and almost pulls off the huge comeback. So I'm laying that one at Paul's feet.
Nice.
Works for me.
He'd be happy to hear that. All right, a final thought for Paul Loeffler. I always say, you know, in Eugene, we kind of live in the Oregon bubble. Always interested to see what the opponents think from who you've talked to, the coaches, the players, to what you've seen on film or watching on TV. Kind of what's the buzz about the kind of or caliber of Duck team the Bulldogs have been prepping to play here tonight?
Well, I think they have great respect for not just the talent, but the coaching. Dana Altman is as highly regarded as anybody. Rodney Terry has tremendous esteem for him. I think it's interesting because so many of these players were here last year. Paul Watson had a crazy highlight reel dunk here last year. Karachi Edo had a big dunk and had a big game, dunked in the face of Boucher, the nation's best shot blocker in that game. So there are guys that have good memories in the mat, and now they're coming back with that purpose of, let's finish the job this time. So to me, that's an intriguing wrinkle, even though Oregon's probably deeper and more talented. But with Boucher out, how does that change things? Personally, in my own interest today, I'm eager to see Pritchard play. I mean, the guy's high school career around here is legendary, and he just seems like a winner. And obviously he is, if they're 8-0 since he joined the starting lineup. So I want to get a taste of him. I'm interested to see how much better Dylan Brooks is now that he's back in the starting lineup. And I think Fresno State has some guys that match up pretty well with him. And then what's going to happen around the rim? If the Ducks are the best shot-blocking team in the nation, are they still the best shot-blocking team in the nation without one of those big guns inside? And what's it going to come down to? How tightly is it going to be officiated? But talent-wise, to me, the Ducks are as good a team, certainly, that Fresno State's going to play this year, and right up there talent-wise with anybody on the West Coast, including UCLA.
Well, I'll tell you, all those factors you mentioned add up for what should be an intriguing night here in town. He is Paul Leffler. He's the voice of Fresno State. You can follow him on Twitter. The handle is at P356Leffler. That's LOEFFLER. Paul, enjoy your time in town. You travel safe back down to the Central Valley. Have a terrific holiday and New Year, and thanks so much for spending some time with us today.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, guys, and I'm counting on you to watch the spelling bee in a few months.
You
right?
Got it. Wouldn't miss
Absolutely.
It for the world now. Forget about it. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Take care.
How awesome is that? I'm going to have an inside track to the spelling bee. Is that like is the Securities and Exchange Commission going to contact us if we look for some inside information, but want a little throwdown action on the spelling bee?
By the way, could you imagine if they did punish them for celebrations in the spelling bee? Like they give the winner a big fine or something
awesome.
Like that?
Be awesome. You see the guy just sitting there. Hands crossed, little kids, all kind of disappointed. Mom and dad with that look on their face. That's awesome.
It would have to be like instantaneous, right? Like the judges would actually give them something. Like throw a flag.
Is there penalty flags? Yeah. Well, but it would be like a flag with like all 26 letters of the alphabet on it.
I love it.
Exclamation points.
It would just be an exclamation point flag.
All right. That's some awesome stuff. Appreciate the time. Paul Leffler, the voice of the Bulldogs.